Thank you, Brother Ulmer. I've known him for 40, 50 years.
Yes.
He was there. I didn't know you when you were a little bitty baby.
Yeah.
In fact, looking at you, I'm not sure you were ever itty bitty. Good to see you.
Yeah.
I know what you brethren are thinking right now. Let's not have a sermon, let's just sing.
Amen.
Amen. But as Rick said in his introduction, we're going to look at hardships, difficulties, struggles in life. What can we do about it, or how shall we answer that? You think about it, as Rick said, all the things that the Apostle Paul went through. And you want to ask the question, the Apostle Paul, how's that Christianity working out for you? But he had so many struggles and hardships. So we're going to title this lesson, you know, hard pressed. Oh, but not crushed or forsaken. There was a song that when I sang when I was a child, not in our songbook, but it had the title of the song was Every Cloud Has a Silver Lining. And hear the words of the first stanza. As though the storm clouds rise about us. Boy, not the truth. Storm clouds rise about us. Though the arc above is dark, round the cloud or after tempest, there's always a heavenly mark. Every cloud has a silver lining. Every plight has a brighter hue. After night, a lovely morning. After storm, a calm anew. Every cloud has a silver lining. Every care has a blessing too. If we look for the silver lining, when the lamp of God shines through. So we're going to look at our lesson this morning. As was read to us, yes, we're troubled on every side, many more than others, but we're not distressed. Now we're perplexed, we've experienced that, but not in despair. We're persecuted, oh, but not forsaken. I need to hear that, don't you?
Yeah.
Need to hear the after word. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. And then Paul said in that next phrase, our light affliction. Like, wait a minute, Paul. We just read about everything you've been going through in your life. You're going to call that light affliction and all of these perils? Yeah, light affliction. And the reason why, it works for us. What can we learn from our troubles and trials? How are our troubles and trials going to work for us? Be a blessing. How are our struggles in life, our hardships, our hurts going to work for us? You know, everyone knows that suffering is not imaginary, it's real. It's not a respecter of persons. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Sure doesn't. Good or bad. You're old or you're young. Doesn't matter your politics, whether you're Republican or Democrat or Texan. It just doesn't matter. You're going to experience it. Put in your notes, people want to know, Brian, where do troubles and trials come from and why? Why they happen or why they exist? And I've just put a couple of reasons for you to think about. Number one, they come just because of the order of the universe. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, through faith, yeah, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's right. So God set things in motion. That creation displays uniformity. Creation displays balance, design. It's not a disorderly confusion. No. And when we violate some of those laws, we suffer. You violate the laws of nature, we suffer. Violate the laws of health, you're going to suffer. You violate the laws of safety, you're going to suffer. We suffer from nature's course of events. People call them the acts of God. We've been reading about that in the news. the fires, the floods. People didn't do anything wrong, did they? Just the nature's order. Hurricanes, tornadoes. Wow. And suffer. And again, they operate without partiality. You know, I've been caught in a storm. You defy the laws of nature, it's going to hurt. But another reason is just because the choice of others. You know, our nation, not necessarily our, but a nation or any nation declares war against another nation and people's lives are upset. People's lives are hurt. They experience death or displacement or injuries because somebody decided to declare a war against another nation. People hurt. We know employers, they make decisions that maybe to downsize or maybe to relocate or just go out of business, and employees suffer because of that. Just because of the choice somebody else made. You think about other people's sins. The drunk driver kills the innocent. And I always wonder about that when there's an accident and there's a drunk driver. And the drunk driver seems like always walks away. And there's death or destruction in the other vehicle. Somebody else made a choice, and that other person suffered. Criminal actions cause suffering. Their choices. Yeah. Terrorist attack. Then another one, people suffer because of their own choices. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Well, we make a good choice, but there may be some repercussions for that. Not everyone's going to appreciate our desire to live rightly. Not everyone will appreciate our desire to bring up our families in Christianity. They won't appreciate that. Even our missionaries doing that which is good, but then they have the result of rebels coming in. Then I think about there's some honest mistakes. Take the wrong road. Yeah, I've done that. Made an honest mistake. Christine lets me know that. I made some wrong mistakes. Didn't leave on time, late, showed up late. Or I didn't sign up for something that I wanted. No, my choice. I suffer for that. Or I just forgot something. There's just those times in my life when I did something I didn't mean to. Honest mistake. Yeah, I suffer. Then there's sin. Suffer for that. Proverbs 13, verse 15, the way of the transgressor is hard. Boy, we need to learn that, don't we? The way of the transgressor is hard. When my oldest son was young, he didn't always want to do that which was right or that which was requested of him. Over the course of time, he's learned some things, and I remember one time I said, son, you're going to do what we requested of you. You need to do it the easy way or the hard way. He's going down the hallway and he says, I'm going to do it the easy way. The hard way hurts. That's right. The hard way hurts. We have our slogans in life to answer all the hardships of life. Sometimes when you're going through hardship, somebody with good intentions, they'll say, oh, look on the bright side. Wait a minute, I'm experiencing some difficulties. It's hard to look on the bright side. They'll say, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. It's a train coming toward me. If I don't move, I'm going to get run over. not in the wash, they say. They say all sunshine makes a desert. Yeah, well, I know good intentions, but I'm still hurting. Sometimes somebody will say, well, Brian, I wouldn't worry about that. I say, I wouldn't worry about it either if it was happening to you. But it's happening to me. I'm worrying about it. I'm experiencing this. All right. Someone wrote, my Father's way, meaning God's way, leading our pathway. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad to know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still I trust my Lord to lead, for Father knows the way. There's so much now I can't see. My eye is still so dim. But come what may, I still can trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, darkness turn to day. Then looking back, we'll praise his name who led us all the way. So what's the silver lining? That's the question we've listed in your notes. What's the silver lining? In Hebrews 12, verse 11, it says, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. And amen that. No chastening at the present. No, it's not a good time. No, it's grievous. Yeah, amen. Nevertheless, and notice the next word I put in your notes, Hebrews 12, verse 11, afterward. Not so much fun or pleasure when we're in the midst of the trouble and trial. No. Hurts. Not enjoying this at all. But the Hebrew writer says afterward. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been exercised by it. Oh, see, we have to trust in God and see the goodness of the outcome. I want to be exercised from the trouble that I'm in. I want to learn from my mistakes, as the Hebrew writer is saying. It says afterwards, so I even put in your note, there'll be times when we don't see the silver lining. I don't see the goodness until the trial is past. I don't recognize the value of what I've been through until it's over. And then I say, oh, that's right. I'm not necessarily glad I went through it. There's been some value in that. Yeah. So we suffer the discipline of education so that I can get that diploma or that certificate or whatever it is. That I went through all of that educational process because this afterward, didn't enjoy the study time, didn't enjoy having to go to that class and different things like that. The discipline of education, it was now that it's over. What about Navy life? Vern, you haven't re-enlisted, have you?
Yes.
Is that all you did?
All the time.
But it's over.
Yeah.
We go to our jobs. Oh, but the weekend or the paycheck. Afterward. Then we put salve on the sore so it heals. Afterward. It hurts right now. Don't like surgery or don't like that doctor visit. Don't like that medicine that I have to take. But afterward, see, what's the value of going through hardship? So we experience the afterward. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Then number two, it causes not to be, for me, cause me not to be satisfied with this life. You look at the trouble and the trials of life. I don't want to stay here. Heaven is not on earth. So we sing, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We sang farther along. Yeah, I'll understand it later. Afterward, I'm going to understand better what we've been through here. Trials, say, trials dark on every hand. Cannot understand. Oh, but by and by, afterward. Afterward. We sing every day I'm camping toward Canaan's land. That's right. I'm going there. Afterward. We sing, here we are, but straying pilgrims. That's right. Here. Yeah. So the troubles and trials of life, what's the benefit? What's the afterward? How's this working for me? It just ensures my hope of heaven. This world is not my home. Yeah. It's not. Number three, putting your nose, it caused hardships and struggles. It caused me to be sympathetic toward others in their trials. So we say to someone that's had trouble or trial, I know what you're going through. I may not have been through exactly what you're going through, but I've been through struggles. I've been through hardship. If you're experienced the death of a loved one, I may know not exactly what you're going through, but I've experienced death of a loved one. You know, my parents have died. I had an older brother that died young. I may not know exactly what you're feeling, but I know something about experiencing death of a loved one. I know. So I can causes me to be sympathetic when you're going through a struggle or a hardship or a trial. And so we offer help to get you through. Almost a phrase there. I've done that. Yeah, sure have. So it's working for me. My hardships, my difficulties. That's that phrase that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. It works for us. Number four, it causes me to have confidence in another trial that I'm experiencing. In other words, I'm saying, I've overcome trials in the past. I can overcome another one. If I got through that, I can get through this. And because I've experienced lesser trials, and I think, well, I can experience this more difficult trial. What's the value of hardships? What's the value of your difficulty? I've been through things before. I'll get through this. I'll get through this too. We've overcome before. We can do it again. Whatever it is. It's working for me. That now. And number five, it gives confidence to others. So not only I put in your notes, I'm an example to myself, but now I'm an example to others. It gives others confidence that they can overcome their trials. I've heard people say, you know, if Brian can get through that, I can get through this. That's right. I remember years ago in this congregation, we have several people that were experiencing heart difficulties. And as soon as someone said, oh, I've been in the hospital with this person, I remember Tip Bumgardner said, yeah, I have a pacemaker put in. Oh, really, you have? That's what I'm going through. Oh, and then they begin to share with each other. The woes, hip replacement, all kinds of things. The value of going through hardships, if it's working for us. Because someone sitting next to you can say, if you got through it, I can too. And then we're going to ask them, how did you do it? Give me some encouraging words. I'm looking at you because I see you got through it successfully. So help me out. Think of all those examples in Hebrews chapter 11, called the heroes of faith. By faith they did this. Why do you think that's such a long chapter of biblical heroes? You can read about them in the Old Testament, but it's summarized right there in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, they got through this by faith, line after line. You read Hebrews chapter 11, if they can do it, I can too. Yeah, that's right. The value of hardships, it works in us so that we afterward we can be a blessing to someone else. Then number six, it gives us patience. You see, through suffering, we learn how to suffer. Got through that hurt. It took a while. But since I got through it, now I'm hurting again. I'll get through this one. Hopefully. Romans 5, verse 3, we rejoice in our tribulations. No, I don't. Afterward, rejoice in our tribulations, knowing, what am I supposed to know about my hardship and tribulation? That it works patience. I heard a preacher say, be careful what you pray for. He said the man was praying for patience. God answered his prayer, gave him hardship, gave him tribulation, because tribulation works patience. You want patience? God give me patience, God will give you tribulation, because it works patience. James 1 verse 2, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations. Why? Because when we have troubles and trials or temptations, the next word is knowing. What am I supposed to know from all the things I'm going through? Knowing that the proving of your faith works patience. See, I'm being tested. I'm not going to allow the difficulty, the hardship, the struggle, the trial to move me away from God. Don't do that. That's a test. Almost like this earth is proving grounds. Testing our faithfulness, testing our trust in God, testing our loyalty. It's a test. We want to pass. Number seven, that provides a check on our evil tendencies. I tend to stay away from those things that are going to hurt me. You know, it's the old equation about the hot stove. Don't touch that, and then you touch it, and you, ooh, that hurt. Well, you're not going to do that. I'm not going to do that again, you say. Right? Some things in life, knowing the consequences of an action are going to hurt me. I remember I did that, and I'm going to do that again. Yeah, I had a lot of struggles when I did that. A lot of hardship, a lot of hurt. I'm not going to do that again. I learned. It worked. It worked in me. Sure did. Someone said, Brian, it hurts when I do this. I said, don't do that. Do that, then don't. Well, I gotta quit. Number eight. Causes us to appreciate the good.
Yes.
Hardships do. Because I've been in the valleys, I appreciate the mountaintops. Because I've been sick, I appreciate health. Because I've seen the rain, I enjoy the sunshine. Because I've worked hard, I appreciate the rest. Because I've experienced trials, I appreciate the peace. And the last one, I don't think this is in your notes. But because I've suffered different things or struggles or troubles and trials, I know that God's teaching is verified. David said in Psalm 119, verse 71, it's for me that I've been afflicted. Why? Why is it good that I've been afflicted? That I might know your statutes. That I have understanding of God's word. I have understanding of God's influence in my life. I've been afflicted. It moved me to know your statutes, that I can trust you and lean on you. You see, God could have kept Daniel out of the lion's den, couldn't he? He could have kept the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. He could have kept Paul and Silas out of jail. However, God's promise is not to keep us out of these things, but to be with us. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I go through the valley, well, I don't want valleys. The shadow, even I want sunshine. Of death. It seems like a good word. Yea, though I go through the valley, the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Why? Why aren't you afraid? Because thou art with me.
Amen.
God's promise is not to keep us out of trouble, but to go with us all the way. So I put Romans chapter 8, verse 18, verse 17. If we're children, then we're heirs. If we're children of God, we're then joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we can be glorified with him. And here's the phrase. The suffering of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Yeah, these are hard times. Oh, but there's better afterward. Afterward. That's right. Get through this. You're not going through it alone. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. Exhortation, song of exhortation. What's their number again, Brother Coleman?
853.
853. 853. Get to heaven. Get to heaven. Let's stand together. We'll sing this song together. We need you to respond to the good news gospel message in a public way. We need you to just let that be known. If that's your desire to have your sins forgiven by being baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that. The last words of Jesus. Jesus, what do you have to say before you ascend back upon? Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18, says, I have all the authority in heaven and earth. Go and make disciples of all the nations. How? Baptizing them by heavenly authority in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them continued education. Teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. I want to know, God, what do you want me to do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's your response. That's your desire. Just simply let it be known. Let's leave sing our song.